Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Big one tonight at Bridgestone Arena between the Preds and the Calgary Flames. And to help us talk about that and look more ahead at the week and the playoff race coming up in the National Hockey League, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Greg, what's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Tonight's going to be a fun night, not only obviously with the Preds and the Flames, but down in Big D, seeing what the Vegas Golden Knights have left in them against the Stars and what's a de facto playoff game. So it's there ain't many bigger nights than tonight before the end of the schedule, so it's going to be a fun one in the NHL.
I don't think there's any question about that. So, Greg, let's just start with your thoughts on the Preds. They've been sputtering a bit as of late, but Matt Duchene, 41 goals, Forsberg at 40 goals. Those guys are carrying the offensive play, obviously, along with Yossi right now. Just your impressions on the Predators as they try to get a big win tonight against Calgary and punch their ticket into the playoffs.
I mean, it is kind of mind-blowing. We've got 240 goal scorers in the Predators, isn't it?
I don't even know what to do with myself.
It's absolutely nuts. I mean, there's been lots of nuts in this season when it comes to goal scoring. I mean, we're talking about the biggest spike in offense that we've seen since the mid-1990s and guys putting up crazy numbers all over the place. To have 240 goal scorers for Nashville is pretty outstanding. You know, I think this team is an interesting one in the sense that you do have players that are out kicking their coverage. You know, obviously what Roman Yossi's been able to do offensively this season is unprecedented for the last couple of decades as far as what defensemen have been able to do. So, you know, they're an interesting team. I worry a little bit about them scoring 5-on-5 vis-a-vis what Calgary can do 5-on-5, if in fact that is the matchup in the first round. But again, like, you look around this league and how many teams are stumbling and staggering into the postseason and worried about their goaltending. To not have that worry is a really big deal, and especially to not have that worry with a guy in Juuse Saros, who I think is amongst the elite in the league this year, and can, you know, be one of, you can count on one hand the number of guys that can win a series on his own. And I think Saros is definitely one of those guys.
Greg, how do you – we've talked about this a lot over the last few weeks. How do you look at the Norris race at this point?
So the last time we polled the voters was at the beginning of this month, and Cale Makar had the inside rail. Yossi was right there. He was gaining. I mean, the offensive numbers that he was putting up were tremendous and continue to be. So I think there's going to be a strong – case historically for the kind of season that he's putting together. But the sense I got, and we polled over over two dozen voters that'll be voting for the Norris, the sense I got is that, one, you still have to overcome the kind of like preseason anointing of Cale Makar as the Norris winner. And that award sometimes kind of goes that way. It's like everybody in Canada decides it's time for Drew Doughty to win, and lo and behold, Drew Doughty wins. You know, it's like that happens a lot. And then the other thing you have to overcome is the fact that there is this notion that there's been some sacrifice of defense for offense in Roman season. Rightly or wrongly, that's the impression. There's also been the impression that because Ekholm picks up the tougher matchups, that there's a quality of competition gap between Makar and Yossi as well. So I would say that Makar is the favorite right now. I think there's the perception that he's the better all-around defenseman this season. But when you're talking about offense on this level and Roman Yossi making this kind of history, that's going to be a real big case to state right as the ballots have gone out. And by the way, for those who don't know, they've gone out. They went out yesterday. And I should say, too, just real quick on the voting, I this came up in a couple conversations. There's no, like set number of candidates for these awards. We actually just, like, write them down. Like, we write down five names and send them in. I think there's some people out there that think that, like, there's only a certain pool of people that we can choose from. But no, it's like the entire league, and we just, like, write down names and then send them into the league.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Greg, there's obviously the Predators have to get in the playoffs first, but there's the debate around here of would you rather have Colorado or would you rather have Calgary? And most Predators fans would like to avoid Colorado at all costs. Do you think there's a big difference between Calgary and Colorado and where the Predators could finish in the first or second wild card?
Yeah, I mean, the big difference for me is that Colorado is the superior offensive team. But I will say this about Colorado and Calgary. I mean, if you're looking for one intangible reason why you might want the Avs, it's the whole kind of notion of, let's say, playoff confidence. You know, Calgary is really good, and the expectations are that Calgary could potentially win the Cup this year. But Colorado is a team that has been expected to win the Cup now for a couple of seasons and has shown in the past that when adversity hits, kind of like they're like the Toronto Maple Leafs West, when adversity hits, things can go sideways for them pretty quickly. And so the idea that you could be in a first-round matchup with Colorado and, you know, let's say, like, take the first two games of the series, I mean, who knows after that? Who knows if you punch them in the stomach, like, how they're going to recover? And so I think there's a little bit of that in Colorado, but, I mean, top to bottom, I think you'd probably want to play Calgary more just because of how good Colorado can be and how good they've been down the stretch.
So, Greg, is Tampa Bay just kind of sending the message that they're about to just rip through everyone again here? I mean, all of a sudden they're just unloading touchdowns left and right.
It's been fun, though, hasn't it? Like, it's kind of like, you know, the hand rising from the grave, right? Because everybody had sort of written off Tampa Bay in the last couple of weeks. They weren't really playing all that well. And then they hang 22 goals on Toronto, Nashville, and Florida in consecutive games. So, look, they are really an interesting team, only because, I mean, obviously any team going for a three-peat is interesting, but they've shown in the last 2 years that they have the ability to beat you in different ways. Like, they can be the team that scores 8 goals and beats the Leafs, but they can also be the team that wins a 1-0 game 7 against the Islanders last year. So their adaptability in the way that they can play and win, I think, is something that we haven't really seen from a lot of championship teams in this league. So that's the interesting part. I'm fascinated to see what they end up having to do in the first round. I mean, it's looking very much like it's going to end up being a Toronto-Tampa Bay first-round series. And in that case, like, do they make it a track meet, which I think would probably favor the Leafs? Do they try to kind of play it closer to the vest, which might frustrate the Leafs? I don't know, but that's a very intriguing first-round matchup. And I think people that are wondering if the Lightning are out of gas or not being able to you know, put it together for another run are seriously underestimating a team that, again, for, like, the last few months has just been on autopilot. You have a bunch of guys that have hoisted the Stanley Cup in consecutive seasons, and you're asking them to care about Ottawa on a Tuesday night. You know, like, they've just been kind of waiting for this moment to happen, and then the minute they get a sniff of the postseason, they start putting up 8 spots against teams.
Greg Wyshynski on with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. So, Greg, we've talked about in the West, Colorado and Calgary. You've got St. Louis and Minnesota playing really well. Edmonton has played great basically since the All-Star break. What team outside of the top two in Calgary and Colorado in the West intrigues you the most in terms of maybe making a deep run in the playoffs?
I'm kind of pissed off that Minnesota and St. Louis have to play each other in the first round.
Yep.
Because, like, they're both teams that fit that description. I think Minnesota, you know, Minnesota has been a very, very good 5-on-5 defensive team for the last two seasons. And in fact, I think if you look at expected goals against, they're the second best. If I said offense, I meant defense. They're the second best defensive team in the league this year at 5-on-5. The problem was they never had the goaltending. Their goaltending was allowing more goals than their defense indicated that they should. And now they bring in Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's like 8-1. So, I mean, like, they did a very smart thing in getting the best goaltender available and shoring up the one position that's been kind of hinky for them. Goaltending is an interesting story for the Blues, too, because, you know, Jordan Binnington had lost 9 consecutive playoff games, and then here comes the rise of Ville Husso this season, who, you know, a few years ago, before Binnington led him to the Cup, people thought that Husso was going to actually be their franchise goalie. Like, there was high expectation that this was going to be the guy. And it took a couple of years, but he's now ascended to that position. And if he plays as well in the playoffs as he's played in the regular season, then this team could easily be the one that surprises in the West and knocks off Colorado, because they're built for it, man. They're a tough team to play against. This is the best offensive team we've seen the Blues have in decades. So both of those teams, fortunately for us, it's going to be a banger of a series, but unfortunately one of them is going to have to go home.
So, Greg, when the when the NBA went to the play-in thing, my immediate reaction was, we don't need this. And I must say I've very much enjoyed it. You recently had a piece on that as an idea for the NHL. I guess just walk us through your thought process there. What's the reaction to that been?
Well, you know, I used to be a traditionalist, too. Like, the 16-team playoffs is perfect. Like, it's the best postseason in sports, in my opinion. And my big thing was, can we expand the playoffs without severely impacting that tournament? And I think the NBA play-in model where 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10, and then the loser of 7 and 8 plays the winner of 9 versus 10, and then that becomes your 8 seed, that's fine. Like, I got no issue with that. I think that's a way to, you know, bring in more teams into the playoff spotlight, expand the field, give cities a chance to get excited about their teams, give star players a chance to excel on the biggest platform. Like, there's all these reasons why they should do it, including the fact that the NBA has made money hand over fist with these play-in games, and including the fact that now we have 32 teams, and in my opinion, that 16 of them go home at the end of the regular season is way too many. And I think if a third of the league is still going home, it's not an overreach. What's the reaction been? Passionate, I think, would be the word I'd use. I was actually really surprised how many people were vehemently against the idea of expanding the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, I heard from people all around the league. I heard it from fans. You know, there's some people that really are down for it, and then there are some people that just find it to be devaluing the regular season was the term I heard more than anything else, and I'm just, like, stunned by that. I mean, it's still, like, a third of the league that doesn't make the playoffs. It won't happen as long as Gary Bettman's the commissioner. Everybody I spoke to for the column told me that, you know, it doesn't even come up in these meetings anymore because, you know, Bettman will shoot it down. It's a non-starter. It's something he doesn't want. But eventually, when he's not the commissioner, I think people are anticipating that there will be playoff expansion. But, you know, I think it should happen now. I grew up at a time when 16 out of 21 teams made it. So, like, 20 out of 32 is not a really big deal for me.
Greg, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Going to be a great night tonight, and condolences to the Brooklyn Nets.
gone and completely forgotten.
That is correct. Greg, great stuff, man. Appreciate you.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A potential playoff matchup for the Preds tonight against Calgary, and a potential season sweep as well. If the Preds can pull that off, how would that make you feel about the matchup in the playoffs against Calgary? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise coming up on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Greg Wyshynski for joining us in the last segment. It's interesting, you know, the idea that we've thrown out there of Colorado or Calgary. He says Calgary's probably the team you'd want if you're the Predators, but I do agree with kind of that aspect of, if you're Colorado and you can get out on a, you know, maybe a 1-0 series lead or a 2-1 series lead, does the psychology of all of it start to put into play? Because I think that absolutely happens with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't know that that's quite the case yet with Colorado, but certainly they know what the expectations are. And if you put some doubt in their mind, can they handle that? I mean, until I see them handle it, that's something that is going to remain a question for Colorado.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just think if you're the Preds or anybody, you'd like, you know what? I think that's really possible. You try to beat them, okay? We'll be over here, and you see if they're soft and can't handle it. And then if you upset them, that'll be great. And then if we advance, then they're out of the way. But, yeah, look, it's fair to – I still – like, I look at Toronto and their history and just their makeup as a team too. It's not – I mean, Colorado is – to me, more built to win this thing than Toronto. Well, still, but
I agree, and it's Toronto's market too. Like, they're people are nuts up there.
Yes, yeah, exactly, right. So there's that too. I mean, I don't know what they're so impatient about. It's only been since 1967. I don't get what the deal, but the big deal is. But yeah, look, it's if it's Preds, Avs, then that is the thing. You know, can you get them to the point of questioning themselves, doubting themselves. And it's not like, I mean, you know, they're not great in goal, so it's possible. I'd still pick Calgary, though.
So in order to do that, though, the Predators have to make the playoffs, and our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic has sent the official list of ways the Predators can clinch a playoff berth today, the simplest of which is you beat Calgary in regulation, and you're in. Or if they beat Calgary in overtime and Vegas fails to defeat Dallas in regulation, you're in. If the Predators beat Calgary in a shootout and Vegas fails to defeat Dallas in regulation or overtime, the Predators are in. And finally, if they get 1 point versus Calgary and Vegas loses to Dallas in any fashion, or if Vegas loses to Dallas in regulation, the Predators are in at that point. So several different ways the Predators could clinch a playoff berth tonight, the simplest of which is you beat the Calgary Flames in regulation and you punch your ticket.
Yeah, your best case scenario is you beat Calgary, you don't back in, you earn your way into the playoffs, so you can feel good about that in your last home game. And then you know exactly what you're rooting for in the other game, because now, well, I guess unless you want Colorado, you can root for Vegas to beat Dallas and strengthen your hold on the first wild card.
The Predators played really well, I thought, last week against Calgary, and that's one of the few games lately that I feel like they've played well and close to their style. They defended well. Calgary was on the second half of back-to-back, and they had their backup goalie in there. I would imagine their starter, Markstrom, will be in there tonight, I would assume, against the Predators. But the Predators are going for the season sweep of Calgary tonight. If they pull it off and they're 3-0 against the Flames, does that impact at all the way you view the series, if that's the case for the Predators coming up next week against the Flames?
It's not just guarantees that it'll be cited over and over and over again, and the Flames will win game 1-6-2. Yes. So I mean, that's pretty much what it means. Yeah, look, I think there's some confidence in there, and I think it's a good matchup. I think that those – I don't think those teams are all that far apart. You know, it's interesting hearing Wyshynski say last segment, because I haven't heard a ton of that. I think people talking about the Flames winning it. I'm not saying they couldn't. I mean, I like their team. But I think the Preds-Flames could be a good series, and I think that there's a little bit of confidence you carry into it if you beat them in all three. Again, if that is the case, the Flames will be so nauseated hearing about it leading into the series that it actually could not benefit the Preds when they play in game one. It's just, you know, it's still there's countless examples of a regular season series in this sport and other sports going one way and then completely being turned on its head in the postseason.
Well, and, you know, we were talking about the differences between the Flames and the Avalanche. And number one, I think they're built differently. I think they play the game slightly differently. And, you know, Wyshynski highlighted the offensive part of it, which I agree. I think the offensive part of it's a little less of a big deal than the defensive part of it. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau's got 111 points. Matthew Tkachuk's got 101 points. They got some guys that can just fill the net offensively. Lindholm's got 40 goals and 40 assists. I mean, they've got a lot of guys that can score. To me, when you're breaking down Calgary and Colorado, the big difference to me is the defensemen, and not just the way they defend, but dynamic and how much they can help the play offensively. Like, Noah Hanifin is a really good player for Calgary on defense. Noah Hanifin's not Cale Makar and how he can come in there and change the game. And if you're Colorado, you've got you've got Makar, you've got Devontaes, and you've got Sammy Girard, who Predators fans are very familiar with, that not only defend well, but they are very dynamic offensively as well. And to me, when you start talking about the differences between these two teams, that's the first thing I point to is Colorado has defensemen that can take over games. And I don't think Calgary has that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, that, again, it's, I just think Colorado. I mean, Colorado has
everything.
If they get – if their goaltending is fine, if their goaltending is solid, they got what you need to win this sucker, for sure. So they're just – and they can just – you know, they can just turn it on, like kind of like Tampa Bay. Like when they get it rolling, there's something to behold, and it can be a real problem. And just with the Preds and some of the D-zone coverage issues at times and the untimely turnovers and just the way – I mean, look, Saros is going to have to play great anyway. You know that. You already know that. So I guess I'm not going to assume like with an average or just – above average Saros. That can't be the case anyway. They won't have a chance in either series if that's the case.
Joe on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, while I consider myself quite the Preds optimist, I don't feel good about this year's team. There's a limping in feeling to this year's playoffs, and unless UC regains his all-star form, we are one and done, possibly swept. This coming from Joe on the text line. I do think sometimes we make too much of the way teams are playing heading into the playoffs. Like I've seen teams win 10 games in a row heading in the playoffs and then get beaten 5 games in the first round. I've seen teams that have just been limping in there and go on to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, there's no – and this brings me flashbacks to Peter Laviolette because he used to say this. There's no formula to winning in the playoffs and how that relates to your regular season play. But I do feel like Preds fans, with the way the Preds have played as of late, they're way less optimistic about this group than they were even last year heading into the Carolina series because of how well they played in the second half last year. Like, ooh, the Preds are hot coming against the Hurricanes. I think sometimes we make too big a deal the way you're playing heading into the playoffs. Just get in there.
Yeah, I hate to do this. I'm doing it way too often. Again, the point I'm making is not that this is going to echo that, okay?
Yeah.
But in 2017 – they lost 5 of their last 7 games. Pecorine gave up, let's see, he gave up 4-3-4. They won 7-3 one game. So it's not like he wasn't playing great. They weren't playing great. They lost 5 of 7. They dropped to the 8, and we know what happened. Again, I'm just saying there's an example, and there are a lot of them, of a team playing poorly down the stretch, and then you just start over. And game one, you go in and you play a great, tight defensive game. You get a win and boom, you take off. This can happen.
Frank on the text line says, maybe we should be asking, would Calgary rather play the Preds versus Dallas or Vegas? We'll be interested to see their lineup tonight. This is coming from Frank on the text line. I don't think Calgary is going to go out there and throw the game tonight. It's like, come on, we really want Nashville, so let's just throw the game.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think that they're again, some of this is just getting ready for the playoffs because despite what I just said, despite what we just said, coaches still want
want
things to be functioning well going into the playoffs. They want to get ready. So I think you're going to see Calgary's best tonight.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Plus, how does the Philip Forsberg contract situation affect the way you view this team and this playoff run? We'll get into that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up on May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with other athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 9 o'clock. Chris Mason at 9:30. Looking ahead to the Preds and the Flames tonight. Right now, talking Preds, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. April in Portland texting in says, I want Hines to get his life together and pick his lines and leave him alone. The more he plays musical chairs, the more they mess up. They have to get a feel for each other. He has to break up the herd line because there's been no production in the last 10 games. There's a lot of thoughts on Luke Kunin out there as well. April says, I think Kunin is a liability. Someone else deserves a shot. They need to sign Forsberg and give the team and the fans a boost before the playoffs. They must keep penalties to a minimum to have any shot to win in a series. We need to be vibing, Robbie. This is coming from April in Portland.
What are those symbols at the end of that message?
I think it's emojis, but it doesn't come through on our software.
Okay.
So we'll have to guess
it's
what
like
the emojis
Gaelic
are.
Gaelic lettering or something. Yeah, look, I think it's fair to it's tough with the whole line change thing because you want consistency. There's one line that hasn't been touched. Everything else has been moved around quite a bit. You're really, really searching in a lot of spots. A lot of those 12 spots, like to me, you're just not quite getting enough, and you're trying to find the right chemistry. I think the good thing is with your top guys, they've done enough of mixing and matching, like with both centers and things like that, apart together, Duchesne, Forsberg, that I think they can adjust to that well. And sometimes in games, you know, again, he'll load up with Johansson, you know, Forsberg, Duchesne, things like that. But the question of the herd line and then some of the other spots and who's going to be a scratch. I mean, I can make a case for Tolvanen to be a scratch at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for Tolvanen. You can make a case for Kunin. I mean, there's
– make a case for both of them.
There's some guys that you could certainly make a case for. As far as the herd line is concerned, like I still – my guess is they're probably going to be left together. So it's on those guys to figure it out. I mean, they've got a – you know, there's this idea out there, and I've heard from a couple of people that say, well, Janot hasn't fought lately, and they're not hitting as hard lately, and that's affected the way they play the game offensively.
Mm.
Not by that. I mean, Janot just crushed a couple of guys the other night. So
he's launching people over there like in a bad like comedy, you know? You hit someone, and they go in the air 10 feet.
So I don't know that that's it, but I do think there's something to maybe the Predators on a consistent basis have not gotten – into their forecheck as often or as consistently and effectively as they want the last couple of weeks. And that line is a big part of it. So I think they'll be left together. We'll see tonight. But it's on those guys to kind of get back to that on a more consistent basis and allow that to translate into offense as well. I'm curious for Preds fans, how does the Philip Forsberg contract situation impact the way you view this team and the playoff run coming up? Because right now, he's not under contract next year. And we know if you take 40 goals out of this lineup, that's going to be hard to replace heading into next year for the Predators. And you're probably going in a different direction as a franchise, you know, barring signing Johnny Gaudreau in the offseason or something like that, if Philip Forsberg's not a part of your team. So right now, no contract for Forsberg. I wonder if for Preds fans out there, how does that impact the way they view this playoff run? Are you just all in to – well, it better be this year, because if it's not this year, it's not going to be anytime soon. I'm interested to see how that part of it affects the way that Predators fans view this team.
Yeah. Well, like April said, they need to sign Forsberg, give the team and fans a boost before the playoffs. I don't think there's any question it would give the fans a boost.
Yeah.
Would it give the team a boost?
I mean, it couldn't hurt. Yeah. I'm not going to say that it's, you know, it's playoff time, so I think the motivation is there anyway, but I think it would certainly do them some good to get in the playoffs. And remember, David Poile was on Darren Donick and Chase a couple of weeks ago, and I think he'll be on today at 11:15, talking about, you know, once playoffs come around, probably conversations at that point get put on pause.
Sure.
So if it's not this week that the contract comes, it's probably not coming until after the Preds season is over, whenever that could be.
And then you get really nervous. And then it becomes the sole focus because the hockey's over.
Yeah.
Which you could look at and say, okay, now it's just – everybody can just focus in on this. This is it. Figure it out. But the fact that they haven't by now is somebody's going to have to take a step that they really don't want to take. That's pretty clear here.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody's going to have to bend on something that clearly is a non-starter or has been a non-starter. And sometimes that just leads to no contract being signed.
I got a texter that says, I think this postseason will have a big factor on if he signs again or not. I can't imagine he wants to sign with the team again if they don't make the playoffs or if it's another first-round exit. But then on the flip side, him and Duchesne have created some crazy chemistry, so maybe that's enough to bring him back, from a texter on text line. Like, look, I think he wants to be here. That doesn't always mean that a deal gets worked out. And could there be the view of the grass being greener on the other side? I don't know. Like, that's to me the other part of this is the salary cap's going up by $1 million. It's not a whole lot. Like, what are the teams out there that can take on a contract the size that Philip Forsberg wants to sign? Sure, you could trade some guys and move some people around, and there's always ways to move money around. It's not NFL ways to move money around, but you can move money around. Is there a specific destination that Forsberg has in mind? I don't know. But the more that the contract situation lingers on, the more those type of questions start to creep up of, all right, well, does he really want to be here? Or what's going on with Philip Forsberg? Like, it's still honestly pretty amazing to me that it's April 26th and this is not done yet.
Yeah. Well, I think he wants to be here, and I think he doesn't want to be like his buddies Arvidsson and Ellis and shipped at any point.
Yep.
And I'm not saying I know for sure that's what this is, but he's seen that happen now, and I think trade protection is clearly a big deal for the player. It's a big deal the other way for David Poile. It has been. He's relented a little bit lately. Got to think that's part of it. But the idea of Forsberg and what he thinks about this team, I think that's also an important consideration. And probably a lot easier to make, you know, for him to feel good about it, just like everybody who follows this team a couple months ago than now. Is it really a situation where whatever they do in the postseason is going to influence whether he signs? I think it's going to come down to the negotiations. It's going to come down to what he's asking for, what the Preds are offering, and somebody stepping over the line that they've drawn.
Got a texture that says, I'm not sure if the salary cap would allow this, but what are the chances of getting Forsberg and Johnny Gaudreau signed for the Predators?
Johnny Gaudreau.
Very slim.
Yes.
Johnny Gaudreau is going to make a ton of money.
I think I threw that in my mailbag last week. Johnny Hockey, yeah. Bring him to Nashville. He is, but, you know, Calgary hasn't been able to do that either. So
yeah, like, I think he's going to be available. Like, I think Forsberg has a better chance of re-signing here than I do Gaudreau and Calgary. Now, they both could end up re-signing, but if you're the Predators and you bring back Forsberg, you're not getting Johnny Gaudreau at that point. That's a lot of money.
It would be...
That's $8 million tied up to Johansson and Duchesne, $9 million to Yossi, probably close to $9 million in Forsberg, and 10 or 11 in Gaudreau.
They do have some space, but you'd have to... I haven't done the specific math, but you would have to shed some other players
yep.
to make it possible. Which, hey, I mean, if the math could work out, there's a way all of a sudden you're a better team.
It's a heck of a top six.
It's worth talking about.
Kyle on the text line says, I think it's fair to say that Tolvanen is a bust at this point. This is coming from Kyle on the text line. I don't know if I'd go all the way there yet because
I think it's moving in that direction.
Well, the thing to keep in mind is also, you know, they gave up on – gave up is probably a strong word. They traded Kevin Fiala because Mikael Granlund was there, and the evidence was that Mikael Granlund was a really good player in this league. And their window to win was then, they thought. But, you know, there's a lot of people that were down on Kevin Fiala. And did you watch him play the other night?
Yes. Now, I'll have to go back to that season. I'd be willing to bet, having not looked at it, that Kevin Fiala's 2018-19 season was a lot better than Tolvanen's 21-22 season. Maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong about that?
I'm trying to remember. I mean, okay, in Nashville he had 10 goals, 22 assists, 32 points in 64 games. I think it's identical to what Tolvanen has right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's worse than I realized. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Or, yeah, that's right. He had 10 and then he had 3 with them. So he had a total. Yeah, he had 13 that year. But yeah, only 10 with Nashville. Yeah, I mean, 32 points, half a point a game, 32 points in 64 games. I still think that at the time, I mean, that team just had a lot of things going on. I didn't have the same feeling. I'm watching Tolvanen this year, and I'm just wondering, you know, what the upside is. With Fiala, you still knew there was upside.
Well, with Tolvanen, like, we've talked about this. The thing he does really well is his shot. Other than that, he's not that big. He's not very fast. He's not that great of a skater. He's okay. But, Fiala, you could see that when he got the puck, he had that thing on a string. It's not that way with Tolvanen. So if he's not wowing you with his shot, what's he really bringing to the table?
Yeah.
Not much.
But anybody who wants to complain about that trade again, Fiala was very much struggling. That team won the division. I mean, it was coming off a President's Trophy. It was a struggle of a year. That was the first year they really started struggling. The power play was a disaster, all that stuff. But Granlund was a 60-point guy.
No.
It was a clear upgrade at that time for a team in that situation. So you can't – it's just like, you know, last year when people are talking about Seth Jones and Johansson, it's like, but that trade was great for the Preds. It got them a lot of what they were looking for. And I don't think you can go back and redo this one either.
By the way, it's turned back in the favor of the Preds this year, too.
Well, there's that, too, now. Yeah. This whole who won the trade, you know.
Dennis on the text line says, does George Kittle have any influence on Forsberg staying? Please stay in Nashville, Phillip, so we can keep hanging out. This comes from Dennis on the text line. Like the Predators hiring Kittle as like their recruiter. Oh, man, you got to stay here.
Well, why don't the Titans just get Kittle? Can't they trade for Debo and Kittle, and then everybody's happy?
Maybe so.
Come on.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. Waters, red, white, and blue.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant, here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. Little Brooks and Dunn, little Ronnie Dunn bring us back in here, Tennessee Oilers song. I love this song.
I do too.
Listen to it all day long.
You got me in too good of a mood now. Now I'm in a good mood. I don't want to rant.
Listen, we do rants every day, so I can't have you in a bad mood every day because I'm thinking of Katie.
That is true. that's a pretty good point by Michelle. We could do the entire like Creed catalog at some point.
Play some Creed deep cuts. I mean, I could reveal other songs.
I can only imagine what those are.
I'm sure they're really good.
I love you, Scott Stapp.
Yeah, I could reveal other songs that I don't like, but I don't know. Maybe that's too much information.
I just need TMI. Audio. I just need audio of Brennan talking trash talk to you, and I'll just play that.
Yeah, did he talk any? Did he back up any of his trash talk? I'm trying to remember. Did Brennan back up any? I mean, he threw a couple passes that Elijah scored, and then Brennan tried to take credit for the basket. But you know,
whereas Joe's throwing no looks and hitting kids in the face.
Good passing though.
I got you for a layup. Come on.
That's right.
That poor kid.
Jim Wyatt coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe Rexroad, your rant of the day.
All right. Well, speaking of the kids. So this morning, I was getting my coffee. I took a step just in the middle of the kitchen floor, and I stepped into a large pile of dog urine. I then was hopping around. So this is, you know, 5 whatever in the morning. Hopping around the kitchen so as not to smear the urine elsewhere. So I could go find a nice rag towel to get hot water and some soap on it to wash my foot off after I just showered. Then I left the towel on the floor for the kids to deal with on the pile of pee. Again, we have pads in the house just in case, you know, something needs to happen. But for whatever reason, Quinn has decided to just pee randomly now in just random spots, okay? I want to repeat this because this is probably a rant that I'll just recycle every few months. I do not blame the dogs. Gus and Quinn, love Gus and Quinn. I blame our kids because you can't beg for animals and then not be devoted to training and spending time with the animals. Everybody's busy and has sports and activities and school and friends, and that's great. That's kind of why I was arguing against getting dogs. But this is a situation, and really more than a rant, this is a call for help, okay?
Okay.
Like Gus is pretty well trained. You know, Gus, when I walk Gus does his thing. He gets it, you know. People have to stay with it, and sometimes this can be a problem. But Gus gets it. Quinn's a mess. Poor little Quinn. She's just a mess, and she doesn't really get it. So I'm actually soliciting help here. Anybody has any ideas for me? I'm all ears.
Gus and Quinn.
Gus and Quinn
leaving a little parting gift for you this morning as you're walking out the door.
And this is not the first time.
Oh, we know.
It's just, but like in the middle of, there's no reason like for this to be the spot, you know? Like sometimes animals, like there's a smell.
Yeah.
And so like that's the spot. But like this is just like in the middle of the kitchen floor. It's just like this is where I'm going to step in the dark getting my coffee in the morning. So you're leaving this for me on purpose.
Now, is there
that's how it feels.
Is there a chance that this is maybe more of a targeted attack from Quinn to you? Like, have you done something that has upset Quinn?
They're listening
says,
right
now. You know
now.
What? I know Rex Road comes through, and I love how I'm calling you Rex Road in your house of Rex Roads. Joe, he comes through this path, same path, every morning, and Quinn's had enough of whatever you're doing, and that's it.
Maybe. Hey, you know what? She is kind of a stinker. She can be a little bit vindictive. She gets, I mean, she, you know, when she sees another dog who may be 10 times her size because she's tiny, she's basically rabbit size, you know, she thinks seems to think that she's much bigger and tougher than she is. So maybe that's it. And you know what? It's not fair because I try to take you out and walk you. And by the way, Vingan, who's a pretty new parent, says rub your kids' noses in the pee. Man, Vingan, tough love in that Vingan household, huh?
Poor Arlo. Joe.
Poor Arlo.
What will you do if you go home and the towel is still just over it in the kitchen and it wasn't cleaned up by the kids?
Well, I texted Caroline, who I
trust.
Yes.
Had to help you with that one.
I'll just name her. I trust her. I texted her, and she confirmed that she would do it. So I don't think that will happen. And, you know, I mean, Katie, I'm sure, saw it. But I just didn't have time. I didn't have time to do anything but put a towel over it because, as you guys know, I showed up late for our three-hour pre-show meeting to rehearse the entire show before we do it. It's a few minutes late. You know, we didn't rehearse every single segment like we normally do. I think they took care of it. But it's just, if anybody out there, you know, we've talked about, you know, I know you can do the training. You can train. But obviously you want to get that done early. And so I'm all ears. I'm all ears for anybody who wants to help out.
We'll take your suggestions for Joe Rexroad on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Sean on the text line. First, let's get to Liam's text before we get to Sean's text, because Liam's is about the dog. Says they grow out of it eventually. Kids only want pets in the abstract and for 5 minutes in the afternoon. Now you have extra furry kids that listen even less than your human ones. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
That's about right.
That's true, because I was one of those kids not too long ago.
That's about right.
I mean, it's like, how could you actually, like, I understand if you're a kid who's like, oh, I don't want to do the dishes, right? You know, okay, fine. But like, how is it actually a chore to play with your dog?
I don't know.
No, it's a chore to clean up after your dog.
But then
you won't have
go
to
go on a walk.
Yeah.
I mean,
Joe, you still got to clean up if you're going on a walk.
Okay, well, sure. I mean, yeah, you pick up the doo-doos. That's fine. But that's still different than if it's in your house.
Yes.
My God.
Sean on the text line says, you guys know that Creed broke up because Scott Stapp is a holier-than-thou self-righteous ass. Met him in 2003, total jerk. This is coming from Sean on the text line.
Jeez.
We will not tolerate that, Sean.
My goodness. I don't know anything about Scott Stapp personally. As far as I know, he's a wonderful guy. He just makes terrible music. But this is now because we're the only show in town that's really going to stick it to Scott Stapp, including unfounded personal attacks.
John is upset.
No other sports show in this town is going to hold Scott Stapp accountable.
John like took a break from Joe's socks and got after Scott Stapp there. Amazing.
Man.
Dennis on the text line says, wait, this show is rehearsed? It's totally scripted. I knew it. This comes from Dennis on the text line.
Come on, Dennis.
Sorry to break it to you.
You think that some of these segments where I'm like, you think those things are just happen like snap of the finger? You got to work on this stuff, man.
That's right.
You got to work on this stuff.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. We'll look ahead to the NFL draft and everything Titans coming up with Jim. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.